The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the podcast production company that's making the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts and a 6th event podcast, but we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. D-U-M-B-D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for listening.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. There are plenty of different designs available, so there is guaranteed to be something you love. To show your love of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B. D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. Redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today. All art supplied by the brilliant Decapitated Markers.
Welcome to One Shots, a Dumb Dumbs and Dice podcast where professional voiceover actors and improvisers tackle one-shot stories created in a variety of hit RPGs. I'm your host, DJ One Shot, and I'm here to welcome you back to Star Trek Adventures. This arc features our GM, Tom McGee, Ryan LaPlante as Security Officer Spork, Tyler Hewitt as Dr. Bartosh Karai, Laura Elizabeth as Engineer Emery Tor, and the mysterious Kristen as Science Officer Emily Cobalt. The away team found a cure for the disease, collected the necessary samples, and copied over the data. However, Sims stole the shuttle. After a desperate shuttle repair, the away team escaped in a second spacecraft, only to discover that the USS Moonhammer is trapped in the ion storm. What happens when a de-evolution storm engulfs a Starfleet vessel? Nobody knows, cause it's One Shots! Star Trek Edition.
So you come back up into space and you see that the ion storm is the symptom of a larger space anomaly. It seems that there is a sort of large electrical storm of sort of green and blue energy. It almost looks like a tear is opening in space. As you come around the sort of up off the planet, you see that it was sort of masked by the planet when you first came into the system, but now it is fully engulfing the USS Moonhammer. The lightning striking it, you can see parts of the ship are blowing off. You can see massive hull damage, and the ship looks a lot worse for the wear. So you pilot your shuttle into the shuttle bay. As you kind of come skidding in, it's a hard landing. Mm-hmm. The ship is in disarray. You can hear red alert claxtons blaring. You can see, you know, there's a couple wounded in the shuttle bay already. You see one of your other fellow engineers, a Nug by the name of Bing Bong, comes rushing out, and you know he's bleeding from an injury to his mm-hmm. arm, but other than that he seems okay, and he's just finished like trying to revive a crew member who's got massive burns, and he greets you as you come out of the shuttle.
Oh no, these are not good.
Bing Bong, what's happened? What's going on?
Everything got so bad. Oh, just a boom, and a zip, and oh no.
Okay, there was no cure. I'm still paranoid.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. all right. Who's in charge? Who's in charge right now? Is the captain here? Is everyone? Who's here?
So Bing Bong tells you that I'll give you this information. You can super act it. Oh boy. Okay, so what you know, Bing Bong, what you know is that Grantham's still on the bridge. A lot of the command crew are dead, so a lot of the people that normally you guys would be reporting to are dead. There's massive damage in engineering. The storm is completely ravaging the ship. Anders and Grantham are holding it down on the bridge. There's been no word from Sims.
The bridge is a donkey. Everybody is, we better go. Gotta make a ship go zoom, zoom.
Okay, all right. Let's go down to engineering, all right?
Yeah, yeah,
As soon as we can.
Zoom.
All right. So you you rush through.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry.
So that's the voice, I assume, Laura? This is, yep, yeah, great.
Laura specifically requested that one. You're welcome the rest of this show.
You guys want to spend some momentum or generate some threat to kill me?
I want to spend as little time talking to Bing Bong as possible. Oh, my God.
You spend more time with Bing Bong, you will love him, too.
I don't doubt it.
Me, I like a doctor. Oh, no. Doctor Armbad.
That's right, Bing Bong. Doctor Armbad. Very astute, Bing Bong.
Use a arm go! Zoom! Bye! Me go zoom room!
Steven Spielberg felt when he realized he'd let George Lucas let Jar Jar Binks into the Star Wars universe? Mm-hmm. That's how I feel right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, I feel like Steven Spielberg. God damn it.
No,
okay.
So much better than Jar Jar. So much better.
Tor, go zoom room. Let's go. Zoom, zoom.
All right. So zoom, zoom, you go. You rush down the hallway. Once you reach engineering, your communicator sort of like blares to life. Mm-hmm. And it's Anders up on the bridge. He says, like, Tor, is that you? You're back on board.
I'm here. What's going on?
Okay, so he said, we lost contact with engineering a few minutes ago. We like, ship systems are showing massive power fluctuations down there. Take a look at the engine.
Got it, on it.
You take a quick look at the engines, trying not to look at your commanding officer, used to be chief engineer on board, who's mm-hmm. Dead, slumped over the mm-hmm. console. You realize that there's a warp breach imminent. So you have two options. You can either try and stabilize the core or eject the core.
To
stabilize the core will be work 8, mm-hmm. magnitude 3, so you get 3 shots at it. You'll need to do 8 work.
Yep.
It's got resistance 2, so that means that when you're rolling your D6s, it doesn't necessarily... It's whatever your score is minus 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a difficulty of 3. And that will be daring or control plus engineering.
Okay.
To eject the core, much easier. It is a task, daring plus engineering with a difficulty of 2. However, it will adversely affect the rest of the ship's systems. because you will no longer have a warp core.
Considering we need to get out of here, I want to try. Oh shit! Try to stabilize the core.
Mia sus.
Fuck.
So
Bing Bong, I'm gonna need your help.
Oh yes. Me do.
All right. So with the assistance of your highly qualified engineering associate, Bing Bong.
Me do good.
We will see, Bing Bong. We will see.
He's super smart. You guys don't even know. Stop,
you're right.
Stop being so judgmental.
You're right. We don't know.
Have we got impulse drives? Impulse engines?
Bing Bong, what do you see? What do your nug eyes see?
Oh, me using my empathy for machine. Me see. Oh, bad. Engine's sad now. Uh-oh.
So, impulse is possible with or without the warp core. Mm-hmm. It's on secondary systems. So you'll still have impulse if you eject the core.
Bing Bong, I'm thinking not a lot of chance repairing the warp core.
Oh, dang.
What? Do you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Maybe we eject and get out of here.
Yeah, we don't go zoom. We just go off.
Yeah, I'm worried. It's going to take too long to repair the warp drive, and we're all going to be caught in the storm. Good? Good. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Do it. Ejecting the core.
Okay. So one of the fun mechanics of Star Trek Adventures is that you can create additional crew members and minor characters who can help and maybe one day become full crew members themselves. Bing Bong is one such character.
Misa Hulp.
And there will be many more many more to come.
I draw a line at that.
Okay. So
I love it so much.
So, Emery, you're trying to eject the core.
Yeah.
So it'll be Daring plus engineering. Okay. Bing Bong, what are you using to help?
Okay, so I'm going to speak as me, because trying to describe what he's doing is going to be confusing as shit.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So Bing Bong's understanding of technology is almost completely, like, empathic. Like, he doesn't really understand why systems work the way they do. It just all makes sense to him. Like, that's been his whole life. So I think he's just going to be running around, kind of like dealing with the overrides around it, trying to make the ejection faster than it probably would be. Like, it's got so many steps normally, and he's just, like, hitting overrides and flipping switches to try to make it faster. So cool. I'd say he's probably using... If we want to, I got to pull his out. It would be...
That almost seems to me like insight and engineering.
Yeah, that works. That's
what a wacky combo. Cool. So your difficulty is 2.
Great. And we have no momentum. So.
And I have no threat to spend, so it remains 2.
You ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Can we spend a threat?
Yes, absolutely.
Because I'm just worried. If this doesn't work, I don't know.
These are just supporting
gonna
character.
Happen. Oh, wait. This is a focus for me.
Yep.
Because, okay. Wait, sorry. Focus does...
If you roll the discipline or less on one of your die rolls, it will count as 2 successes.
Okay.
Okay, so your communicator buzzes and Grantham's like, what's going on down there?
We're ejecting the core. No other option.
All right. I trust you.
Cool.
Good luck, Chief.
Ah, shit. Okay, that's 1 success, but that was a 4. So that counts as 2.
Misa, have a success! Ah, do!
And I was pressing fucking buttons all over the place. It looks like he's just ruining things. Like, it looks like he's just a gremlin, but somehow everything stays okay and he succeeds.
So you gain 1 momentum for the additional success. Despite how dire the situation is and the horror of it, pretty cool. He just called you chief. Push the button and the sort of blast shielding comes up around the core and gets ejected out into space.
Bing Bong stands and waves as it goes into the distance, and then he turns around and goes,
"Okay, that done. How was planned?
Not great. We gotta
succinct."
And I call up to Anders and ask to get the con to engage impulse engines as quickly as possible.
Yep. So he He says, yeah, affirmative. And then there's an explosion. He goes, ah, we just lost Khan. Hang on. And then the signal goes blank.
Okay.
So
so where do you grow up?
So Dr. Barthelmy, Bartosz, there are lots of people injured and sort of dying on the ship. What do you want
to
do?
I think I get on the comm first and report in to the chief medical officer and let him know he's got one more doctor on the ship.
Okay, so he says, please, we need all hands we can get up here quickly.
So I head up to the med bay, sick bay?
So you head into sick bay, and you can see that so far of the pieces of the ship you've seen, med bay has been damaged the least, which is good. However, it is overrun with people. So lots of scarring, burning.
Okay.
It's about
go to work.
Great. So why don't you roll me a daring and medicine? Or I guess you could use control as well if you
I'd
want.
I'd love to use control.
Yeah. And I'm going to say, sorry, before you do that, let's say the first thing you're going to do is heal your arm. So this is sort of like an auto doc surgery that you're commanding. So I'm going to make this difficulty 2, but I'm going to remove the one. So the one of the traits on this is that you're in a med bay, so that makes all healing practices much easier.
Okay.
So don't worry about the minus 1 for your arm.
Okay.
So just straight difficulty of 2.
Okay. And that's 2 successes, one of them with an effect.
Amazing. So the...
You grow a third arm. It's stronger than the other two.
Better, faster, stronger. So the auto doc patches up your arm fairly quickly. What am I going to give you for that? While it's healing you up, you're kind of looking around and you realize that things are pretty dire. So you make a subtle modification to it to basically give you a little dose of a stim as well to just get you ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
Essentially, I'm going to give you one additional task that you can do once. So sometime during this forthcoming scene, you can do one additional task because you're slightly wired.
Right, got it.
Cool. Okay.
I would like to address all of the people in triage.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Bartosz Karai, but you can call me Dr. Bart.
That's all I'd like to do to get started.
Dr. Ma, the actual doctor, the ship is just... Honestly, everyone, it's easier if you just let him say it. He'll be with you shortly. And he kind of rolls your eyes at you and goes back to work. Elizabeth, what are you doing?
I would like to go report to my station. But before I do that, is she still sick? Emery, correct?
Yes.
With a debilitating neurological disorder that we have not cured yet?
Yep, that would be correct.
And time is of the essence?
Just a decked warp core, though. Just want to point that out.
Okay, cool.
Now, she's so smart. Cool.
Side note, though, did you need to eject the warp core, or are you just paranoid?
Who knows?
What a fun guessing game.
On the bridge, they're like, wait, what?
What do you mean? The warp core's over there.
Okay, so you want
to
try and heal it?
It's her, Emery, and Sims that still need to be. Her Sims is gone.
Sims is gone.
Sims took a shuttle. We don't know where Sims is.
Yeah.
Man, okay. So it's just her. I would like to cure Emery, though, before it gets worse.
Yep,
she's by the engineering.
So because you synthesized the cure down, I think probably on the way up, you were figuring out a way to put it in a hypo, so you can just... give her the injection.
Okay.
So while she's like working on ejecting the core, you just kind of like ever so quietly just like sneak up and just like pop it in her neck. She doesn't really notice. So you can now remove the trait paranoid.
Bing Bong notices and he like looks over and like gives you a thumbs up and then goes back to seemingly just flipping random switches on a giant wall of switches.
They installed that wall just for him.
Yeah, it's the children's play center.
It's just a fidget wall.
It actually controls life support. Yeah.
Like when he's working on the stuff that keeps the ship running, he's really efficient, but he's really bad at downtime. So they made like a wall of toggles that he can just flip that he thinks do things. And then they like pick him up and just move him to the left where the real ship ones are when he needs to work.
Yeah, he's the reason that I got the surge of stim in my arm.
Yeah.
From like the other side of the ship. He's like...
he has no idea what he's doing, but yeah, he's just like vastly improving other systems by accident.
I'd like to report to my science station and assist there with
great.
Maybe analyzing the ion storm or see if, are we going to die?
Sure. So I'll let you do that next round. Okay. Spork, what are you doing?
The moment I get off the shuttle, I use the onboard security systems to check if Sims had docked.
He has not.
Predictable. I report to the chief of security.
When you reach the bridge, the chief of security is unconscious, and currently there are two ensigns kind of like helping her into the lift to go down to med bay. The bridge has sustained heavy damage. You can see they're trying to use Anders has hopped on the con and is trying to maneuver the ship out of the ion storm, but you can see the storm is almost moving kind of hungrily towards you. Grantham is it looks a little worse for wear. He's taken some hits as the ship's been damaged. As you walk in, the other con panel explodes, killing the ensign who's there. So Grantham himself like rushes over and like hops on that panel and starts like trying to rewire it. On the viewport you can see the ship. Think of it almost as being too close to a black hole. Like the ship is just sort of slowly tilting back into the abyss. Can you please roll me a control and security check? Difficulty 1.
2 successes, 1 including an effect.
Excellent. So you move to the security panel and you do quickly shoot through the logs. You can't fight a giant temporal thing, but you can have a better understanding of what's going on. One thing you note is the ship did pick up readings of Sims exiting the planet. However, it seems he didn't return to the ship, but made his way towards Narendra Station, which was where your original destination was. You also pick up a rather large power signature on the other side of the tear in the temporal form. And doing some quick math, you realize you can tell it's powering up weapons.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have like a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. She's very good.
And friendship.
Aww. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice,
you can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else, so do that now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
I bring up full shields forwards and charge the weapon systems on the Moonhammer.
Great. So, yep, you can do that.
And I will yell to the captain, foreign vessel ahead, weapons charging.
What do you mean a foreign vessel ahead?
This is the complete information I have, Captain.
Thank you, Spork. Very helpful. Appreciate the heads up. And he kind of turns to Anders and he's like, Anders, do you have the con? And Anders looks kind of stressed and he says, sir, I'm not, with all due respect, I was never the best pilot. And Grantham says, I suppose that's fair. They seem to be kind of like trying to figure out how to pilot the ship in the midst of this, but weapons are powering up, shields are up. Cut to Elizabeth. So you're checking in at Science Station?
I suppose, yes, my station.
So the Miranda is essentially a saucer section with three decks. Don't quote me on that. I think the science, you would likely have a station on the bridge, similar to what Spock had. He had kind of like a console. So you come up, you can see Spork there dealing with his panel. You move over to your science section, you boot up, and you're looking to see if you can understand
what's happening.
The anomaly. So this thing is outside the realm of anything you've encountered. So I'm going to make you roll for this one. Can you please give me control or insight and science, please?
Okay, target 14. Two successes.
Okay, excellent. So as you start to run, you're thinking of everything you've observed up till now, you're able to ascertain that the temporal field ion storm seems to have temporal effects. So in addition to the de-evolutionizing effect, part of what you were observing leaving the planet's surface was things aging quicker, de-aging. This seems to be a truly strange temporal anomaly, and it seems to be wildly unstable. So that's what you'll know.
Okay.
that's what you learn from that. Dr. Bart, you are in medical.
Yes. I think I probably want to get engineers back up on their feet as much as possible to restabilize the ship. So I think we're probably focusing on getting engineers back out there to put out different fires.
Cool. Great. So let's say you're focusing on like engineering crew, kind of leaving science and con to one side. Yeah. Like, okay, great. So priority being engineering. Speaking of engineering, Emery, what are you doing?
So I, feeling some strange sense of clarity finally coming over me, coming out of a bit of a daze, I'm going to call up to the captain, to Captain Grantham, and just ask, Captain, what's the status? What do you need from engineering? Because I'm still a little bit uncertain.
Okay, so Grem says, according to Mr. Spork, we have an enemy vessel powering up weapons on the other side of whatever this temporal anomaly is. Our shields are up, however, I'm worried without the warp core they'll be weak. I need you to find some way to route more power to the shields.
Okay, if we switch life support to minimal and reroute the power from the impulse drives and reroute them to the main deflector array, we may be able to hold them off.
Like putting too much air in a balloon. Congratulations, Laura. You have delivered the first amount of Star Trek technobabble or treknobabble. That's fantastic. I'm giving you 1 point of determination for coming up with a real Star Trek-y response to a problem. So back on the bridge, you can see you're being sucked faster and faster into the temporal anomaly. And sort of as you're saying that, shields are powering up, suddenly you hit this rip, and all of you experience a moment of extraordinary feeling. It seems like you've been, every sort of nerve, every bit of you is fully aware, is fully feeling. It's just an overwhelming amount of sensation. Everything glows a tremendous white. You almost suddenly feel incorporeal. It feels similar to being teleported. So like when you're transporting up and down to a planet, except wild. It feels natural. It feels more, where that feels very technical, this feels like a natural occurrence, and it's horrifying and wonderful at the same time.
Alan would know.
Yes, the great physicist, Alan. And then with the same, as easy as that was to slip into, coming out of it is hard and jarring, and suddenly it feels almost like you've been slapped by cold water, like when a wave just hits you out of nowhere. Suddenly you're shocked back to the temporal vortex is behind you. Red alert sirens are blaring. That moment is gone. For each of you, that will have landed differently. For someone like Spork, that will be a very odd and kind of, I imagine, uncomfortable sensation.
Most things are.
There you go. Elizabeth, for you, it's being able to actually experience science in a strange way. No one else is watching Discovery, right? It's just me?
No.
Yeah, great. It's one thing to think of something, but to actually kind of reach out and touch your field is very odd. Dr. Bart, that was an extraordinarily strange experience for you, and I think we'll have you possibly rethinking how medicine works if things like this are possible. Emery, I suspect on your end, I kind of imagine you don't really notice because you're busy engineering. So I think you kind of shake it off. How's Bing Bong feel about that weird adventure? So suddenly, with the anomaly behind you, directly ahead of you is a ship of unknown design. It's certainly not like anything you've seen before. It seemed to sort of be in a holding pattern with its weapons charged at full. But now that it's through, they're charging up and you can see it's getting ready to fire. Grantham says, like, Anders, have you got this? Have you got this? And Anders says, yes, Captain, I do. And he starts, like, rapidly working the con. He seems to have settled back into himself. And Grantham sort of goes back to the command chair and says, excellent. All right. Weapons to full, shields up, cut impulse. Let's do this.
Captain.
So, Spork, you're on weapons right now.
Tactical station, correct.
Tactical station, yep. So, you still have power to weapons. They're not at full charge. They're sort of semi-charged because there's no warp core, but you can still fire phasers. Shields are up. They seem to be holding at 60. However, impulse is now down to minor amount because you're... Mm-hmm. We'll say you haven't pulled life support and impulse yet. You're working on it.
Okay.
Medbay, I think you've got a few engineers up and going. They're rushing down to help Emery with rerouting the power.
Okay.
Elizabeth, what are you doing?
I'll be maybe assisting... maybe navigationally with the con to help him navigate, because there's the ion storm to navigate.
Great.
As well as the ship charging weapons.
Yeah, fair enough. So you rush over to assist Anders in navigation, and it's at that moment that Emery manages to reroute power from impulse into shields, so shields come up at 100%. However, the second before that happens... You look at the panel, you look at the settings, and you realize that several things aren't where they should be, that it's been damaged and is running kind of at an unstable level. But before you can warn Anders, the panel bursts and just shreds him. So he splatters backward. Shrapnel hits Grantham. Grantham, you know, you see, like, just sort of viscera and shrapnel hits him. He gets thrown back off the command chair. You can hear him kind of like screaming behind you. He's kind of at the floor of the security console. In general, I think we're going to think of this bridge in next gen terms, because I think that's the Star Trek we're all the most familiar with.
Yes.
So there's sort of that raised level with security console. So he's at the ground there. Can you please roll me a fitness and...
No.
This is con. Elizabeth rolling.
Yes, Elizabeth, if you can roll me a fitness and con, please.
Okay.
So target's 12. One fail, one success.
Okay. So you manage to throw yourself to the side as the explosion happens. You do manage to dodge it. Okay. But Anders is definitely very dead.
At this point, I flip open my communicator and I just yell, Spork to medical. We have an emergency. Triage team here, stat. The captain is injured. And then I flip shut my communicator, and I immediately shift con controls to the tactical station because both con panels have exploded.
I'll take over con then, if you can attend to.
Do they work?
The panels have been damaged, but
both of them have exploded. Then I would just
you can I'll control. Say you can reroute con to the science.
Excellent. I will do that instead. Station. That would be perfect. Okay.
So, Lieutenant Cobalt, you have the con. So we've got Elizabeth on con. We've got Spork on security and weapons. Doctor, what are you doing?
I'm on my way.
Great. You start running up. And Emery, what you've managed to reroute. Are you basically standing by to see what happens?
I'm waiting for further instructions, but as that's happening, I'm just working on stabilizing everything and make sure that the power is flowing and not going to explode anywhere.
Okay, great. So you rush up, Doctor, and you see Captain Grantham has been hit by a bunch of shrapnel, like bad damage to the left side of his face, to his shoulder. It looks superficial but bloody, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
What do you do?
I start tending to the captain.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So can you please roll me a control and medicine check at 1?
That's a pass and a fail.
Great. So, I think your sort of immediate concern is stabilizing him.
Yep.
So you quickly check over things. You can see it's not great news, but it's also not dire.
Not as bad as Anders over there?
Definitely not as bad as Anders over there, yeah. What's left of Anders. So you're able to stabilize the captain. He's in pain. He's not going to be very functional for the next little bit, but he's going
to
live.
We need to get him out of here.
I call for 2 security officers to come with an anti-grav skid to carry the doctor and the captain. I mean, the doctor will probably walk, but to carry them back to medical. I also flip open communications from the tactical channel, and I call over to the other ship, hailing them.
Okay. Yep. They don't answer your hail.
I set the hail to repeat until it receives a response.
Okay, great.
And then I'll communicate down to Emery, and I'll just say, Lieutenant Tor, we have achieved full shields. However, weapons are not at a satisfactory level. Find us more power.
Okay.
So, Emery, you know from a past life, I'll say, one of your symbiotes' past lives, and it didn't end great for most involved, but there is a way to reroute all power from shields through phasers to deliver one extraordinarily powerful blast. Mm-hmm. However, it will leave the ship completely defenseless.
So I'm calling back up. Lieutenant Spork, we can divert more power to the phasers for one single blast, but we will be temporarily without shields.
How close is our opponent to fully charging their weapons to fire?
The weapons are fully charged. It seems as though they're waiting for something, but they're fully charged. You feel like they're ready to go.
I call back down and say, prepare the process, but hold. Until hostile intent is achieved, we cannot open fire.
I'm
the Federation
it.
Does not fire first.
Well, that's good news, because you won't have to wait long. The ship opens fire with a full array of phasers. The blasts strike the forward shields. You've got 100% forward, like you've thrown all power behind forward shields. Mm-hmm. So the shields take the brunt of the hit. You know, obviously it's full Star Trek rules, so like the ship shakes. There's lots of like sparks and stuff that fly off the walls. Shields drop to about 50%. This phaser volley was far more powerful than it had any right to be. Meanwhile, behind you, Elizabeth, you can see that the temporal vortex is closing. As it does so, it seems it's almost like it's imploding. And as it does so, it's shooting off huge amounts of energy, one of which strikes the underside of the saucer. And causes sort of a massive explosion. There's no shielding back there right now because everything's on forward. The whole ship shudders, sort of twists. It's very rare that you hear like a Starfleet vessel twist. It's kind of a horrible grinding noise throughout the ship. The tactical array tells you that the med bay has been destroyed.
I flip open shipwide communications, and I say, all non-essential personnel to lifeboats. Abandon ship. Abandon ship. And then I call down to the engineering room, and I say, this is Acting Captain Spork of the USS Moonhammer. Fire everything we've got.
So here's what I'm going to need from you guys. Emery, I'm going to need you to please roll me a daring in engineering.
Okay.
at difficulty 3 in order to fire. Bing Bong can assist. However, I'm going to put Bing Bong on the doctor since you're just hanging out right now. Mm-hmm. So you can roll to assist as Bing Bong. Spork, I need you to roll me a ranged attack.
Could I try evasive and, maneuvers?
Yes. So I'm actually going to count that towards Spork's attack.
Okay.
And the idea there is keeping the ship alive long enough for him to land the shot. So can you give me, please, either... So, Elizabeth, either daring or control and con.
Okay.
Spork, control and security.
And I will use my determination to add an extra die with an immediate one.
Excellent. So you're firing at difficulty 3. Doctor, as Bing Bong, you're assisting Emery in the in engineering. So I think for Bing Bong, it's always going to be insight. So let's say insight and engineering.
Okay.
And finally, last but not least, Emery, you are... Routing all power, I already gave you yours.
Yeah, I was daring in engineering, right?
Okay, great.
And I'm going to use my shipboard tactical systems focus.
Nice, very nice. Okay, great. So let's do engineering first, and then we'll jump to the weapons.
And I've got Bing Bong assisting.
Yep. I rolled for Bing Bong.
Oh, okay. Oh, shoot. So that's one success and a 20.
And Bing Bong succeeded in supporting you.
And you can use your point of determination to re-roll your 20.
I will absolutely do that. And, oh, just barely another success.
So,
and worth noting, Bing Bong's special, one of his specialties is electroplasma power systems. I don't know if that would help with a power reroute, but if it would, Tyler rolled a 3, so that'd actually be two successes for Bing Bong.
Great. So you succeed with a point of momentum. Do you want to use that point to supercharge the blast?
Sure.
So basically right now you're routing everything to it.
But you got to say it as Bing Bong.
Yeah, so...
Bing Bong. You got to play it now.
So something about side characters is like they're members of the crew, so occasionally other people are just going to do them.
All right.
Yee-woo-hoo! The ship go bang!
Ladies and gentlemen, and Tyler, you it as Bing Bong.
All I'm saying is Bing Bong lives. Like that.
That's I think that's our new T-shirt. So, Emery, you realize that you can give it just a little more juice if you cut gravity and life support for a second. So you route everything through, and for just a moment, life support cuts. Everyone finds themselves floating slightly off the deck. Mm-hmm. It's dark. It's cold. Your breath is gone for a moment, and in that moment, Spork.
Fire, which I say to myself, because technically I'm captain, so I need to for proper decor, but I know what I'm doing. I'm also going to use that momentum.
Great.
Just to pick up an extra die. And I believe you were assisting me?
Yep.
I have achieved 3 successes, one of which, because I am a master of shipboard tactical station, becomes a bonus. So that is 4 successes, plus I use determination, which is 5 successes, plus an effect.
And a success.
And she has...
Target 15 and got 5.
Okay.
She has a success as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, damn. All right.
Momentum.
6 successes and an effect.
Would you like to use... 2 points of momentum in your effect to great effect right now?
Hell yes. This is an all or nothing.
Our Star Trek Adventures one-shot features our GM, Tom McGee, at McGeeTD on Twitter. Players Ryan LaPlante, at TheRyanLaPlante on Twitter. Laura Elizabeth, at EL Hamstring on Twitter. Tyler Hewitt, at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter. And the mysterious Kristen, who don't need no help with Twitter traffic. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's art is by Decapitated Markers, at Decapitated Marker, that's MRKR, on Twitter. This show's theme music is Gothic Trip with Thunder Horse by Damiano Baldoni, and our ads use the tracks No Control and and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, all available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com, our Twitter and Instagram at dumdumdice, or on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you could join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks for listening. Smash that subscribe button and show your love to One Shots. DJ One Shots out of here. Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Joshua White, Olin Anderson, Sue One, Devin Boyce, George Dolby, One True Artistry, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.